Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, we have the season 4 finale, as Rob, Scott, and Becky all try Wente's Riva Ranch Pinot Noir. Further, the wine of the year and the winery of the year are announced. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, folks.
Scott is back off the DL.
Off the DL.
Yes.
I think they call it the COVID IR list.
Yeah. He joined the superstar in having the Rona.
Yeah.
Yes, he's a skank.
Me or Steve, or both of us.
Well, Steve, we know is, but you apparently must have been kissing with him. I don't know what you were doing.
Well,
he got a mystery disease, folks. He's the Virgin Mary of COVID. He never came in contact with anybody, and no one that he knows had it. Yet he developed
it. And his wife
it.
Didn't get it?
Nope.
Maybe you are the monkey or the bat that it came from. That could be.
Oh, wow.
The bat. You're just the original. You're the OG.
I'm the Batman. They call me Batman.
Could be. Also in the
Easy for you to say.
Also on the show tonight is a slightly lower sitting Triple B.
I know. I'm like still on the IR list.
Well, the Triple B is on the IR.
I'm the one on the sideline cheering.
She broke her leg, folks. So she is actually in a wheelchair. However, we rolled her down the stairs.
I sat on my butt and scooted down the stairs.
I know. And we have a rope, and we're going to drag her back up the stairs. After the show, nevertheless, yeah. We have COVID Man and the Peg Leg Lady here on the show tonight. However, I'm Rob the Wine Guy, and I am perfectly healthy. So
I know you're the only one at 100%.
Physically.
Yeah, that's true. On tonight's show, folks.
Physically perfectly healthy.
I know. This is the season four finale, and we just go right on to season 5. But that's not the point. This is the end of the year show. You're listening to this. We'll be on the 27th of December. We're very excited tonight because tonight we're going to announce our wine of the year, our winery of the year. Ooh. And moreover, we're going to have our gift exchange, which is a busy show.
It is a lot to do.
But speaking of something that might make me ill, on tonight's show, maybe it won't. We have a prior, let's just say, yes, who could say? It's a prior contestant for winery of the year. Yeah. We did not do this wine on the entire season 4, but we brought it back. And it's Wente, folks. It's Wente's Riva Ranch Vineyard Pinot Noir from Arroyo Seco in Monterey. This comes in about $27 a bottle. But Scott, how much did you buy it for?
$5.85.
Now, I'm looking at the price tag that was attached to it, and it was just stuck on the back. And this is actually for Castle Rock Cuvée Pinot Noir. You understand that, right?
So
you took this sticker off of Castle Rock. You did.
Nope.
Because Castle Rock
Cuvée. Bought two of those bottles at that price.
Isn't it that ignorance of the law is no excuse?
Well, Castle.
So even though he was, I'm using air quotes, ignorant to it.
Well, Castle Rock Cuvée is $7.99 a bottle. So it was a $2 discount, roughly. Now, wait a minute. You bought this at Kroger, right?
Yes.
But when it scanned, what did it scan as?
Curiously, it didn't scan in, and the manager had to come and give that price.
You see, I've had that before where they won't give me that price.
But see,
and it was actually priced that way.
Well,
how did you do that? You just stuffed that in an overcoat and walked out, didn't you?
Oddly, this display of clearance wine was in the pharmacy section.
Uh-huh. Sure.
It was weird. It was the weirdest thing ever.
You were there to get your opioids. Yeah. That's the biggest crock of shit story I ever heard of.
It's so funny.
All lies. You stole the damn bottle.
No. If I stole it, I stole two. Because Princess and I had joined a bottle at that deep discount price.
So how much would you buy this on wine.com for?
How much can you or how much would I?
Is it priced at?
You are able spend $27 of your American money.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. You got it at a $22 discount?
Yeah.
He got it at a 5-finger discount.
Oh my gosh.
They put the sticker on there.
Oh, they did not.
I didn't put it on there.
Yes, you did.
That's maybe somebody
so
did.
Good. I didn't.
Maybe
not,
that is what happened, but
that's
it wasn't
not,
my doing.
That's
I didn't
not
realize
Castle
it
Rock.
Was like that much of a discount.
Well, I did not notice the Castle Rock sticker.
Well, two things.
Actually,
so
until
funny.
You pointed it out.
Well, yes, because I know that was a ridiculous price. This is
I knew
current.
It was too.
This is current vintage. You're not going to put this on Red Tag. Well, you might eventually. No one's going to buy it, but still.
Yeah, I mean, did not know the discount was that much. I thought it was like $3 or $4 extra.
It's
off.
Supposed to be.
I didn't know.
So the wintayonwine.com is actually 25 of your American
I saw 27.
Dollars. Well.
No reviews, though, folks. Oh my gosh, not even James Suckling.
So funny. Did you tell Debbie?
I didn't know that this was intended to be.
She saw him sticking in her trench coat. I've seen that trench coat that you've worn before. It's from 1981 when you were 90.
So
and didn't you see your father gave you that? You told me that one time.
What, oh, so you're talking about the
trench
the
coat,
the Woolrich,
whatever it is.
Yeah, it's not a trench coat.
We went out one time and you wore that.
Yeah,
in public,
the tan one
with me.
It's rather fetching. I get compliments on it all the time.
Where
I've got proper trench coats that are trench coats.
I'm sure you do. Jesus Christ! So
they're also known as classic overcoats.
Overcoats.
Yes.
Okay. It's very fashionable. It's fashionable to be a shoplifter. So, nevertheless, tonight's show, we're going to break down the Winte. We're going to name our wine and winery of the year. I'm going to have to tell everybody on the show the wines that we've drank this year that may or may not qualify, but because none of us remember.
Well, there's that.
I had to look.
It's been a year, man.
It's been a year, and it's also been a year of wines that did not really ring the bell.
Yeah.
We've had some good wines, but no, there's no Heculas, I mean, there's no, none of that stuff.
Our,
sure.
Yeah.
I feel like when Rob will ask me, what are you in the mood for? It's like, I would just like to drink something that doesn't make me vomit. I mean, how often have I said that?
That's true.
I say that almost every week.
We had a nice run where we had episode after episode of good wines, though.
That's true.
We had a nice run mid to late summer.
Good wines, but wine of the year. Yeah. They're all about the same.
Right.
But I've got one I'm going to lobby for, and it is a wild card. And we have to explain to everybody what it was and when they drank it. That's okay, though.
Remind us.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Winery of the year will be far easier, I think. But nevertheless, folks, we're going to take a break. But then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So, the 2017 Winte Vineyards, Riva Ranch Vineyards, a little repeat there, from Arroyo Seco, their Pinot Noir in Monterey. And Arroyo Seco is known for Pinots. There are lots of good Pinots down there. Is this one of them? I don't know. One thing we always have liked about Winte is their cabs and their Merlots too. Livermore Valley.
Yeah.
A lot of their stuff is from Livermore Valley.
Yes.
And we always found that interesting. And that's just, what is it? Just east of San Francisco. A small little thing. It's basically just them. Mm. But this is down from near Monterey, Southern California, more SoCal. But they do make good Pinots down there. I don't know if these guys do, but.
There are good Pinots to be found.
Theoretically, yes.
Just in Monterey in general.
True. That is true.
I just rewatched both Big Little Lies 1 and 2, and they are in Monterey.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
So they're like the common folk, essentially. That's very nice to see that they're so in touch.
Of course they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because everyone can relate to, I live in Monterey. So you know, on their website, Winte's website, this Pinot Noir is sold out.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, I will tell you, normally that would be like a mark of distinction, but they're sold out of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
Well, they're sold out because they're selling at $5.85 a bottle, apparently.
Love the price. Love it. Don't be a hater.
Some facts.
I know. Do we get to give like a $5.85 score and like a $27 score?
Maybe so. And we should write down our scores of integrity before we start.
I don't have a pen.
Well, then you can't write that. Here you go.
Jeez. Okay.
I just threw it to her in her wheelchair. So... this is just a shot in the dark because I have no idea how good this wine might be, but I'm just going to guess. Completely made up scores. Some facts and figures while they ripe. This is aged for 16 months in 50% new French oak and 50% neutral oak. Mm-hmm. So that's quite a bit of oak aging. Hopefully they just use it as a touch.
Yeah.
Now they do farm, and one thing you'll find, folks, in California, you're going to find clone grapes. So you have grape bud stock from France brought over, replanted here, and that's what they're growing off of. So they have farm eight clones of Pinot Noir, Pommard, and Martini. Pommard is from Burgundy. Martini, I have no fucking idea. That's not Burgundy. It's an Italian name.
It sounds Italian.
I don't know. Gravelly loam soils found here, rich with shale and limestone deposits, impart desirable earthy and mineral qualities to the wine.
I mean, that description is like point, point, point for a Pinot, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And the tasty notes suggest that it's subtle. Hmm. With delicate hints of baked red apple and hints of baking spice, such as cinnamon and nutmeg. So it's applesauce. This wine has beautiful lingering tannins, making this a great wine for food pairings. They have Charlie the intern. He has left the wine vault, and now he writes for Winte on the website.
I was
going to
say, that doesn't make me want to drink this. Does it make you all want to drink it?
Not exactly.
It makes me want to say crisscross applesauce. So.
You already said
the nose is lovely.
The nose is lovely.
It looks like a Pinot.
It smells like a Pinot.
Yeah.
And tonight we are using this is the Riedel Venom Extreme Pinot glasses. Scott, we haven't drank out of these yet? I don't think so.
No. They're really pretty glasses.
They are really pretty glasses.
Gorgeous. Smells like a Pinot. There's cherry.
Vanilla.
I think I can smell some of that limestoniness in the nose.
It is back there, isn't there? It's just the veneer right behind that. Mm-hmm.
It, honestly, when I first smelled it, I was like, it kind of smells like in a basement in a really good way. You know, just like when you go in.
Yeah, it's just that subtle classic Pinot funk.
Mm-hmm.
It's just funky. But it's not the biggest Pinot funk we've ever had. Not even close. It's just a really well-balanced, subtle Pinot nose.
And when it's not a huge Pinot nose, it makes me think I'm going to like it more.
Well, I would expect... I expect this wine to be somewhat delicate. It should be, given that it's a Rioseco, and it's also if they're using Pommard clones. It should be.
Yeah.
Should be. Let's
I'm
go
in. Going in.
Let's go.
Yep.
It has a massive punch of cherry fruit right in the front palate that goes into the mid that is too strong.
Too strong. I don't know about that. Did you get a hint of chocolate as it first hits your palate with the cherry, like a chocolate-covered cherry that went away real quick?
Well, the mouthfeel had a bit of chocolate in it. Yeah. Chocolate.
There is cherry. But I've taken a couple of sips trying to find the apple. That's not like first, five or six flavors.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that?
No.
Yeah, I'm not for sure where that
is. It does not taste like applesauce, strangely
enough.
That's
what my tasting has been centered on. Like, wait.
It's Mott's applesauce with cinnamon on top. It's like you're at Frisch's, big boy, and you have like a little side order of applesauce with your...
I'm imagining those applesauce pouches loop downs.
Oh, God.
That's what I was, like, half expecting. No, the cherry is, it is a little bit strong.
It's dry, obviously, mm-hmm. but yes, it has a lot of flavor. It's not bad, mind you. This is more stylistic, a more stylistic issue for me. I prefer it to taste lighter than that, more subtle than that. It's not bad, and I could drink it perfectly fine.
I would agree with that more than your first statement that the cherry's too much, that it's too much, overbearing.
It's too much for me.
It's too much for you.
Yeah.
Because it's there, but there's other things ringing in and out of it. I get the earthy spice. I'm not going to call it cinnamon.
No.
I'm not going to call it apple pie spice, but there's an earthy spice component mm-hmm. that's in and out of that cherry quite nicely. Something in transparency, you know, I had a bottle of this already. I didn't note this as much, and maybe it's just that cherry going from the front to the mid, but there's the front and mid, there's no real differentiation of them.
No.
It's just one big thing.
Because it is that big of a... It's not a lump. It's not a lump.
Mm-mm.
But it's that big of a wave of cherry. Almost a cherry pie level. Hopefully. Have you seen the Pinot, the cherry pie Pinot? Yeah, I know it doesn't taste like this. But if it did, I would be able to drink it.
Yeah.
But I just know it doesn't taste like this.
No.
I will tell you, my first couple sips, the cherry was too much. But now yeah. I'm kind of like, okay.
You get desensitized to it, probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay.
Mix it with a little water. Just drop a couple drops of water.
It's not like that at
no,
all.
No, it's there's nothing wrong with it.
I know. And the cherry is a strong flavor.
Yes.
But something interesting to me about it is it's almost the strength of something you would see in a fuller bodied, like, cab or something, for example, like that strong of a flavor. But this is still a medium bodied Pinot, and it's still relatively delicate. That's mm-hmm. an interesting
thing
to me.
Medium ish, really. It's yeah. it's even on the lighter side of medium yeah. bodied.
It's industrial strength Pinot Noir. That's what it is.
Oh, Jesus.
No, it's not bad.
What do you think about the oaking? I think it's really adroitly oaked. It's.
Sorry.
So nice.
I had a cherry reaction.
Stop.
No.
You woke with the dog.
You make it sound like a McDonald's cherry pie, and it's nothing like that, folks.
It is a little bit. Those taste good. I mean, they do. Do they still make those?
Not with cherries in them. They've got that sauce.
I saw the other day they make a holiday
pie.
It's
a red sauce.
Holiday
pie?
It's
like a custardy something.
I don't want that.
I know. Someone was like, way to not commit on like what this is supposed to taste like.
It's actually their scrambled eggs with sugar on it.
Funny.
It's been made like 6 years before.
Yeah. I think that the oaking is really, really well done, especially when I consider all of the oaking. It seems like it was oaked for quite some time. There was like, right? It was like, it sounded like it was going to be a little bit heavier
months.
Handed.
Yeah. Well, French though.
But it is very nice, very light. I'm not getting any like, I mean, I guess since it's French oak, it's just the nice finish. You're not getting any of the like awful side effects that you get from American oak and Pinot. Yeah, I think it's growing on me the more I have it. It took me probably 3 or 4 sips to get over the cherry and to get my head past the apple, which I don't even taste at all.
True. You know, I feel like I need to go take a shower because I feel like I'm being Scott right now, where he's just like being overtly negative for no particular reason, but he's being
what would make you take a shower?
You are, because that's dirty, but you are being overtly positive because you drank it before, so you have an inherent bias mm-hmm. towards wines you drank before, and I did not remember that when I wrote down what I thought I'd score it, so mm-hmm. I fucked that up.
But I didn't tell you whether I liked it or not.
You always like this stuff like that. But let me start off with saying there are so many people out there that would enjoy this wine.
Yeah. I have another question. There's mm-hmm. something on, I think it's the like late mid palate before it gets to the oaking.
Yeah.
To me, it's almost, Do you like for me? I'm like, is that an orange peel? Is that something like that? Do you taste that in there?
Mm-hmm. Orange peel is a nice little comment. Orange peel.
Yes, it's from the acidity and. Mm-hmm.
But that's also
a little grapefruit.
Too. Right at the same place. Grapefruit. I was going to say lemon zest, but also right there. There's a little earthy component.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then not that earthy spice with the cherry, but a different one, like,
you know,
not quite barnyard, but. And we say this is dumbing it down, but dirt, dirt road, dust.
Well, I find this wine to be a very clean tasting wine, but we forget this is a $27 bottle of wine, even though you shoplifted it, you stole it, but nevertheless, it's $27. And I'm glad because I've always wanted to do this, I just never pulled the trigger. It's not that common to see it,
no.
But when you do see it, it's $27. So that's why you would steal it.
I don't remember ever seeing Riva Ridge before.
Well, I have, but I didn't. I'm not a shoplifter.
You would have been all over this. What you would have done is you'd have taken one to the register, and then when they got that one, you'd have run back and gotten them all.
Yeah. Scott, I would have actually looked at the sticker and seen it was not that, and I would not have bought it because I have integrity. I wouldn't.
Oh, my God.
I would not. I cannot do this. I'm saving this to remind you that you're a criminal.
I want to see it.
This is evidence.
I want to see it.
This is evidence.
Hey, I paid for it.
I hope they put you in prison.
I paid for it.
You rang him up.
I hope.
She muttered.
You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to drink Castle Rock.
Never.
Fuck this. Says Castle Rock Cuvée Pinot Noir. You're going to have to drink that. As punishment. I'm not drinking that. You're going to drink that, you know, and I'm going to drink Mary Edwards.
Odd thing, I'm not sure there were Castle Rock bottles staged there.
Well, I mean, I don't think.
There are a bunch of bad Chardonnays.
Well, yeah, well.
Bunch of cheap, bad Chardonnays.
I bet the Castle Rock.
Maybe there was Castle Rock.
You're going to find out what Castle Rock tastes like. You're going to drink it, and I'm going to drink.
Never.
Excellent.
I won't do it.
Hands up.
Ever.
That's what I'm going to do.
This is Castle Rock right here. The label for purchase says so.
It's in fact not. By the way, folks, we have not talked about the Wine Spectator Top 100 because it's completely irrelevant this year. Don't you agree?
It's even more so. So very commonly, it's full of things that you just can't find.
Or would be looking for in the first place.
This year, that's all that it is.
I mean, it's like, no. I mean, nothing that is exciting or obtainable whatsoever. And they're like, even the stuff that you can find, or even like from the wineries, they are just minute subsections of that winery. It's just the dumbest, worthless list in the entire world. Yeah. It normally is, but this year,
I'm sure in California you can come across a few of that stuff.
But it's not even all that entertaining. So when
what did I send you all? There's no Zin in the top what? 25? 50?
50.
Yeah,
there were some actually well scored Zins. Like, we didn't have it on the show, but Carol Shelton's Wild Thing Zin got a 92 from the Spectator. I never bought it, but it's under $20.
Yeah.
I don't know why I never bought it. I don't recall what the appellation is, but I think that scared me.
I've had Wild Thing. It
yeah.
Isn't.
No. But they gave it a 92, so they must really fucking like it. So they should have it in their top 100 at that price range. But they didn't. They put that shit in their stupid value price shit that nobody wants to fucking drink. You know, it's just dumb. It's a worthless list. And then the enthusiast has three lists, or four. How many do they have?
Yeah.
They have their top 100, seller selections, and then their values. It's like, what? So what the hell? Shouldn't the ones that are in the top 100 be sellerable? But they're not.
No, they're not.
Because stupid fucking Prosecco wins. We did that. We did the Nino Franco last year, remember? And it wasn't all that great.
It wasn't that great.
No. So.
This, though.
Yeah. It is good.
It's good.
It's a Winte product.
It's growing on you, isn't it?
It does. Well, the cherry is initially shocking. And then it's like, nah, it's fine. Just like Becky said, aptly put. So.
The other thing that I mean, people write reviews that are so cracked out sometimes. You're like, what did you even, you know?
Not us, though.
No, our reviews are spot on always. I don't find this to be a particularly tannic wine. To me, it's dry, but I wouldn't say tannic. I also, when it said it was good for food pairings, to me, that's almost an insult for a wine that, like, you need to eat something with it to, like, balance, I don't know, balance it out or get the taste out of your mouth. To me, this is a lovely drink on its own. I don't think it needs a food pairing. I think it stands very well. I'm like, this wine I'm imagining drinking is like your first bottle of the night. Like you go out to eat somewhere and you have this while you're waiting on your food. I think it's really, really nice. And if I saw this on a menu, I would order it.
Yep. But with salmon, this would be excellent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice piece of salmon.
I'm more.
Don't really like salmon.
Becky's comment that. And it's not that you couldn't pair this with food. It's just like.
But
why
the red snapper dish that you like at
the blackened snapper
at Hudson 29.
Hudson 29.
Wouldn't this be
the best?
This
dish
actually would work with
everything
that.
Goes well with that dish because it's so good.
I think this is a red wine that would go well with fish, just in a general sense.
Certain ones,
Bo
is biting Scott. Kill him.
He's like chewing on his arm.
Well, that's what he does to the people he loves. Bo. Scott is skanky. You don't want to put your mouth on him. You don't know where he's been.
Yeah. I think my initial impression of this wine has changed quite a bit. I think it's a nice drink. And it honestly is pretty typical of a Californian Pinot Noir. Like you would know this. It has some influence, but you would know this as a California wine.
It's an excellent version of the Californian style.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
It's much better than. I mean, I've had several half bottles of J, like their 30-30-30 blend or whatever it is. You know, and it's about the same price. Maybe it's a little cheaper, and it's fine. It's actually a little less fruity, but this is better. This is more elegant. This has elegance to it.
It's just got that.
This hasn't been decanted normally as long as we have been either. So.
It's just, in terms of a Pinot mouthfeel, it just has a nice, soft mouthfeel. I wouldn't say it's luscious. It doesn't rise to the level of dairy. It's not creamy. It's just a nice, soft mouthfeel from an otherwise medium-ish bodied Pinot.
For me, I think. Like when you get reviews, sometimes you'll get like approaching, and to me, it's like approaching that mouthfeel. It's approaching, you know, it's like I don't know that I would say it's an elegant mouthfeel or anything like that, but it's approaching all of those things.
I agree,
which is still a major accomplishment. It really is.
Well, the mouthfeel, though, in my opinion, comes from the fruit,
Well,
maybe the oak too.
The oak, yeah.
I was going to say the oak. It's just very well oaked. I'm impressed with the oak.
Definitely. And in my opinion, that's probably the best characteristic of this wine because it's so skillfully oaked for a not expensive Pinot.
Yeah.
No. Particularly at my price.
Free.
For a $6 bottle of wine, this is exceptional.
You would run.
Definitely buy.
You would have texted me immediately if you saw this and walked out of the Kroger with it. I wouldn't ever
just
do
shocked.
That.
I wouldn't. I would see that it was the wrong one, and I would tell somebody, look, you have the wrong tags on this, and that's
the person you would tell that to is me.
Bo. No, I wouldn't.
Scott,
oh, my Lord.
Sleeve of your jacket. I'm sorry.
Is that like, do you work, are you a highway worker? Why do you have a fluorescent?
It's a high vis.
Why?
He's still chewing on the.
So people can see you in your minivan?
That's in my minivan. In your minivan.
Okay. Yeah, whatever.
The
I have a European sports sedan.
The
literally.
Other thing that I can't believe we haven't thought of before is Scott taking that price tag sticker and using it to theft more wine.
Yeah, why don't you just, you know, there's some Stag's Leap I would like.
Why do you think Rob's keeping it?
So, as proof of your malfeasance.
I know, but see how long he could run on that
Scott,
for.
This goes up on the board just like Steve's sleeves do.
It's
this,
awesome.
This is always, this is like what is it, a totem? Mm. Yeah, it's a totem.
Token.
No, a wine vault totem. Is it a token?
Okay.
I don't know what that is. Is
it totem? Like a totem pole?
Sure.
No.
Token.
I don't know what it is.
Token is like a memento.
But I mean, it's more of a shrine-ish thing. It has religious undertones. Oh, that's really.
He's like, let me just climb all over my mom in the wheelchair.
What you do, though, smack Bo in his stupid bushy tail. There he is. Or next to his buddy, his best friend. He hasn't seen him in a while. He just loves Scott so much. Right now, I'm sitting here and I see this big, bushy dog just flailing with his big, dumb paws. I trimmed his nails, so you're okay. Biting Scott as hard as he can.
No.
No, he's not. No. And basically just wallowing is the term.
The other thing I would say about this wine, yes. And I don't want to gush about it, because I don't know that it's like a gush wine.
Sure.
But this to me is also, it's not a dessert wine, but it would also be a very nice wine to have after dinner.
I was gonna when you said before dinner, I was thinking just as equally as after dinner. That was my thought when you were saying
that. Because it does, the cherry and the orange peel, like that's a nice... It's a nice drink.
By the way, in the Riedel Venom Extremes, if you swirl it correctly, look at that radiance, the way that
it's beauty.
Looks. Oh,
the
my
glasses
God.
Are unreal. I'm a big fan of these.
They do a good job. Nice job, Riedel.
The shape of it is stunning.
I got a set of Riedel Venom, same style at the base of the glass, Sauvignon Blanc glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, they're really pretty.
We've got the Riedel Extreme Zinned, too. But I like the Extreme. I bought these in Myrtle Beach for $12.50 a piece.
You rescued them.
I rescued them.
You said they needed a paw.
I should have probably called you.
Yeah. Those weren't discounted.
They had cab, too. They had cab, too.
They weren't discounted inappropriately, were they?
You want more?
No.
Okay. Okay. So, folks, we're going to take a break because we got to come back. And we've got to do so many things tonight. It's such a busy show. Such a busy show. But we'll come back right here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn, or Spreaker, or Podbean, or some other app I've never heard of, but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, on tonight's awards ceremony, we're going to do awards, then we're going to do our gift exchange. And I'm very excited for Scott's gift exchange, because I think we've done well this year, don't you think, Triple B? Yes. Good stuff.
Very nice.
So, we're going to start off with the winery of the year, because that's a little more obvious. And we've discussed this. We didn't really ask Scott's opinion, but...
No, we did.
We don't value
it. No, you did.
Okay. I feel like there's no other choice for us this year.
I know. And I would like to give a special shout out to Douglas.
Yeah, for real.
In Chi-Town. Douglas suggested this winery,
3 years ago?
About that. And we had the Pinot Noir on, and we enjoyed it. But then since then, this season, we've done the Pinot Noir again, loved it. We've done the Cabernet, the Reserva Cabernet, loved it. And we did their Grand Reserva Cabernet, the Inverno, or whatever it is. And we loved it. And obviously, it's Apatagua. Apatagua is the Wine Vault Winery of the Year.
And, you know, that's depicted from the wines we've had this season.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're the best of the best of the best of everything we've ever had or drank off air.
No.
We're just talking about episodes we've aired this season.
True. And I'd like to say also, for in general sakes, for the value priced, the Chilean wines of the 2018 vintage and the 19 vintage are great.
They've been fantastic.
Santa Carolina, you deserve a nod. By the way, Winte, this is the only show. But Winte, have they won Winery of the Year before? I think they have.
I think you all might have awarded it.
Mm-hmm. Winte, once again.
They were in the discussion. I don't think they won.
Yeah.
I could be wrong about that.
I don't know. Rodney Strong, I think, won one time.
Yeah.
We don't write these things down. But Apatagua, tip of the cap, congratulations to fine wine that you're making, especially at a value price.
And we've gushed about it so many times before. If you haven't tried it yet, search it out. Wherever you source your wine from, send yourself a notice that when it becomes in stock that you get notified and you buy it.
And you can get the Cabernets currently, I think, still on wine.com. I don't know that. I think you can.
I was going to say, I think that when Douglas told us about it, he really was early on the Opa-Tawa bandwagon. So for that, like, major, major thanks. Mm-hmm. I feel like we came in because of him, like, at the beginning of the curve. But it is hard to find now. It's like a couple of years ago, Ravenswood. Now it's basically impossible to find when you used to be able to buy it at Kroger. But I think that that is a testament to its popularity. And in general, like you all said, Chilean wine really deserves more exploration. It's, I think, one of the best things that we've done on this show to really, really try out. And you have tricked us several times on them. They're really, really well done.
True. And now, onto the wine of the year. Mm. And we've had some discussion off air because we couldn't remember what we drank this
year.
Well,
it's been a
year.
Usually where something will jump out and it's a 93, 94.
Yeah.
Really special.
And let's remember, folks, we can only give this award, and once we've made up these rules, mind you, but only give this award to a currently available wine. Because if we were saying the best wine we've had all year so far, it would be like St. Honoré by Penfolds. Yeah. But that was a 1998. We can't do that.
Something that annoyed me a lot from Scott's girlfriend, Christina Turley, is her wine of the year was Dom Perignon.
1985, yes.
And it made me so mad because that is not a wine that people can have.
It also made me mad because she was drinking it out of just the wine wings glass or whatever out from Riedel or like one of those, the new ones that are on Facebook.
It was one of
those.
She
wasn't even drinking out of fucking champagne glasses. And now, maybe you shouldn't because that is elite, but whatever.
But I think, like, there are really good wines that we've had.
Yeah.
But like you said, it needs to be accessible. And I think that is really, really important. I mean, honestly, the highest that I would ever go for a wine of the year would be a Camus. I would never go any higher than that because I don't think
under
it's 100? Fair.
I think it's reasonable. I agree with that. I really do.
It's not fair for us to get something that you bought, you know, in 2006 and have cellared. It's just not, you know what I mean, though? It's not fair.
But I'm not giving it to fucking Camus.
No, I would agree. I'm not giving it to Camus either.
No.
I did want to say, when Rob and I were talking about this the other night, it's not a wine that we drank on the air.
Yeah.
But a wine, and you can't buy it, so it's also not eligible.
Yeah, it's completely sold out.
Completely sold out, but it's in the same vein as what we were talking about earlier with Opa-Tawa. Was it just called Garage?
Garage Company.
Wine Company?
Yeah.
It was so outstanding.
From Chile.
It was really, really flavorful. I would put it up against...
It was their Pais. I'm looking at the bottle right now. We have another bottle, mind you. And I have one of their, what was it, Carignan?
It was really, really lovely. And so to me, like, that again doesn't get my wine of the year, but I do think it deserves mentioning because it was just really nice. We enjoyed it out on the deck.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect evening.
Actually, you drank it in the basement.
No, we didn't. We drank it on the deck outside. I remember sitting at the table. I'll challenge you on that.
Oh, that was down here. But we drank that. Oh, that was Leda. That was Leda Pinot Noir from Chile as well.
Leda.
We still have that too.
Leda. I don't remember that either. That was lovely also.
Oh, yes, Leda was extremely good. And Leda is one that you can't buy right now either.
How much is it a bottle?
Under 20.
It was, okay, I'm mistaken. That one was the one that I was thinking of. It was outstanding, too.
Sorry, Garage Company. Like the Pais, too. But
I know I like them.
But Leda is very, very good. You're right. Leda is excellent.
To prove that we're an equal opportunity wine commentary show, I'm going to defer. I say, Christina, you be you. If you want to call the 1985 Dom Perignon the wine of the year and drink it out of whatever you want.
I knew he would come to her defense.
Well, certainly isn't going
to
be the Whitney Vineyards Zinfandel, right, Scott? So, but with that, though, to be as bougie as Christina Turley, we actually have discussed And the wine of the year is going to be a bit of a shocker because you're going to have to go back and you're going to have to listen to one of our twofer episodes. But it's a twofer episode that all of us were really enjoyed doing.
You mean we were drunk?
I don't know about that. It was long. It was tedious. But we had two extremely good wines and we explored something that we hadn't explored that much.
It's also very weird to not give a wine of the year to a really big, to me, a really big cab, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
It's just a weird feeling. And I feel like I almost had to be talked into it, but I agree. I'm there now.
Yeah. And this wine comes from the Semillon episode we did. And it's not Le École 41. I tried to lobby for that. I lost. It's actually La Tour Blanche, Brumes de La Tour Blanche, the Sauternes, half bottle.
It was just so distinctively.
It was.
Different. And it why I think this is our wine of the year is because it was out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm. It was. And it's obtainable. It's $12.99 when you can. It's out of stock right now, but it's $12.99. $12.99 a bottle, half bottle, but it is Sauternes. It tastes like a Sauternes. It isn't ageable like a Grand Sauternes, but it's really hard to not drink those things.
It had so much going on. It was so distinct and so easy to pick out the components.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And in a year that, I mean, 2020 has been like a doozy after a doozy. But that to me is one of the most memorable wines and episodes that we did. And I think that that deserves, to me, that's why it, that's how it got my vote, is because I remember it distinctly.
Yes.
The mouthfeel I remember. It just was really, really a remarkable wine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It checked super off a lot ordinary. Of boxes for us. It was distinctive. The mouthfeel, to use a term we all use, elevated mouthfeel. But the components in that wine, it distinctly had this, and this. You know, the minerality was nice. Mm-hmm. I really think it's a no-brainer now that we talk about it.
It is. It was the most interesting standout wine. I bought a second bottle. I couldn't buy a third bottle because it was suddenly gone. As soon as we aired the episode, there it goes.
We're really good wines, but
yep.
Could you even pick between the reds?
No. Well, Via Cafaggio would be the one I would come into then, but I do like Chateau Larouc.
I like the Haras de Pirque. That reserve.
The Haras de Pirque is good, but the Larouc, had it on the episode, and I liked it. But then, since then, I've really liked it, and I've bought a lot of it and drank it a lot, a lot.
We went through.
I absolutely love Larouc. By the way, folks, drink the Larouc. Drink anything that's inexpensive, cheap, and cheerful. That's Bordeaux, because it's all so good.
The other wine that he tried to lobby me on off the air was Tessier, which I can't stand.
It was a joke, just to piss her off. You hate Tessier, and I understand. But
you like it though, Scott, don't you?
Yeah, not as much as some of the others.
Yeah.
Well, I was buying it for $7.99 for a reason.
Yeah.
You got $93 from this Parker, but
we enjoyed that wine, but I got tired of it. We're like Eros de Pirque, that Reserva.
Yeah.
I'm not tired of that. I just ordered 4 more bottles of it.
And really? Still have it?
We had 2 over the past couple weeks.
That's right. So Scott's going to keep talking because I have to fix something Beau destroyed.
Uh-oh. That's not good for business.
He's been trying to shred this rug.
It's just the Le École 41 also was a candidate. But the Sauternes was just better than it.
I swear I didn't drink that.
You did.
I'm going to have to go back and look at old episodes.
You mean you listen to the show? Oh, my gosh. No, Becky listens. I know. You did like that. You did like that. Mm. If it weren't for certain factors, we would buy some more. But, you know, the fact that it's not summertime. And see, Becky is not only have a broken leg.
Nope. It's not.
But she's in a wheelchair. Yep. So, folks, we've announced those two things. Congratulations to La Tour Blanche for their award. And congratulations to Apatagua for their award. And congratulations to James Suckling
For
making a living?
Voice of the year?
That's I've given him voice. No, actually, for wine personality of the year, it's the Prince of Pinot. It just is.
Oh.
No, it's actually his special needs Scooby-Doo son. He gets Easy. Wine personality of the year. So now on to the gift exchange, folks. It is
Christmas.
They say it is Christmas. Ooh, I just stole it all. That's okay.
Well, you're okay.
I'm okay. And I don't even like this wine. We'll start off by giving Scott his gift, and he can open ours first. It is in a Santa bag. Yeah, this is a very nice ignorant way to try to give it to you. There you go. You got it?
I think so.
All right. There are three things in there, Scott.
It has a December 13th marking on one.
Yes, it's a re-gift. It's my mother gives us Advent gifts, and that was from the December 13th.
Oh.
You're loved. I did not know that.
This one's heavy.
It is.
Oh.
It's not a dildo, so I'm sorry.
Rob.
Next best thing.
It is. I don't think you'll expect this.
I don't know. I think
see, the wrapping paper would have told you. Yes, folks.
Very nice.
What is that, Scott?
I did not expect this.
That was really hard for Rob to keep.
I know.
And not send you any clues.
Because I'm not the only one. I haven't tried it yet. But.
So, it's no secret that we're Turley aficionados, mm-hmm. even though you mock the choice for wine there, which I think is a very perfectly acceptable wine. This is a bottle of Turley Extra Virgin Napa Valley Estate Olive Oil. I would mm-hmm. not have expected it. Just by the size of the packaging, I thought it was going to be a bottle of port.
No. Olive oil. Drink that. Drink the whole bottle.
Rob got me a bottle. And
it's a wonderful gift.
I know.
It really tickled me to no end. It mm-hmm. was so... It's something you would never buy yourself, but it is a lovely gift.
Folks, you can get that on their website.
Yep.
Ships within 2 weeks.
Yeah. It's super cute.
This is a small package.
Oh, yeah. This yes. is not from me.
This is important, Scott. This is probably the most important gift. Because you're a jank bastard. Certain things piss me off. So I have to rectify those things.
When he told me about this, I was like, oh, my God. Bro,
Scott, let me start off. Scott has jank-ass cork pullers at his house.
I have great ones.
No, you don't.
I have the rabbit.
You have bullshit things. So I got him a proper two-stage waiter's corkscrew.
It's just a waiter's corkscrew.
A very basic waiter's ebony.
But it's wonderful.
Yes. Now you can be like me.
He's so offended about it.
No, it pisses me off.
That was the first thing that he got. He's had it forever.
It pisses me off. I can't stand that. People that don't use proper corkscrews. It pisses me off.
So annoying.
I think the rabbit is a proper
I'll
corkscrew.
I'll break that with a hammer next time.
The rabbit is a name of a vibrator.
Yes, it is.
And so you
it's also
that as a
well-named.
It's a stupid thing. You can have a waiter's one like that or the cork stand one that like I have.
That's the same thing as the rabbit.
That's true, but I don't care. It's not
it's
on a stand,
so
is it?
Yeah.
Oh, pretentious.
Yeah.
Bougie.
That is pretentious.
I can put my name on this one. I just wouldn't put my name on that.
No, you can't. Oh, yes, you can.
I like the paper. It's old school Christmas.
I know. Where did that paper come from?
I don't know. You bought it. I don't know.
No, I didn't.
Scott is like
speaking of Riedels.
You're the test kitchen. Now look at the type of Riedel this is.
Overtures.
Flip it around.
Magnum.
They're magnums. So standard overtures are bullshit. These are not. They also have a double magnum, which is a little ridiculous. Look at that bastard.
It's gorgeous.
It's a shorter stem, but that is a damn good cab glass.
I'm
it
pretty
almost
into
seems like it's in between a cab and a Zin.
Somewhere between there. But the overtures are designed for multi-purpose drinking.
Right.
But the magnum, because I have a standard red overture and I have some white overtures. It's tiny glass. It's not very nice. Those things are proper. And you could put a cab, you could put a Zin. Anything casually, especially on your back deck, Those things are great for that.
Yes, because the smaller stems,
yep,
less likely to
yeah
knock them over and break them.
And I've no one has ever owned the Magnums. And I thought Scott is the test kitchen.
Aww. It's a pretty glass.
It is. Yes. The double Magnum, Scott, hold 32 ounces of wine.
What?
It's a...
Or something like that.
Very masculine looking glass.
It is.
It's a very masculine looking glass. Yet, you know, I was looking through the empty glass near towards the base and the reflection of the light. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Well, I need good glasses when I drink at your house.
Oh my God.
It's more than...
So, yeah. So what Rob bought was a wine cork.
Yeah. So the bottles that are I drink at Scott's are properly opened. And then, yes, these are all more mine. It is. I have, you know.
The first Christmas Rob and I dated, he bought me like kitchen supplies for my apartment so that he could cook with normal utensils.
Because you did not have anything.
Ooh. He's handing them to me.
Well, good.
All right. Want me to open them?
Oh. Well, that Becky opened.
Ooh.
What is that?
Love Block. Sauvignon Blanc.
My gosh, we have a collection of love blocks.
So good. Yeah. Isn't the label so pretty?
It's beautiful.
Love block's good. That'll be great for summertime.
I know. Ugh.
New Zealand Sauv Blanc.
It's a good one.
It makes me so happy to hold this.
If only it was as good as Mason.
I just shot laser beams out of my eye.
Why didn't we put Mason? Should have been up there, you know. Mm. We don't want to anger Triple B too much. Should I open this now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, Beck, you want me to hand you down the bag?
I can reach it. I was just looking and admiring the bottle. It's so pretty.
Yeah.
Can I hand it to you? I can't touch the ground.
Oh, right. The last time we got a bottle of wine, you gave Becky a bottle of wine, we ended up drinking it.
Ooh, this is a Triple B gift. It's probably a Triple B William gift.
No, that's for you.
Shit. It is gluten-free chocolate brownie.
Uh-oh.
Gluten-free marshmallow bars. Brownie.
Yeah.
Honduran chocolate brownie. That sounds so good.
That is swanky.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, these do get put away where his little fingers can't touch them.
He is a little weasel.
He has a way of finding things, doesn't he?
Yesterday, at shower time, I go in.
So good.
And Henry said that William's bleeding. I was like, well, whatever. I walk in. Scott, it looked like a murder scene in the shower. Blood everywhere.
Rob had like 10 paper towels full of blood.
I had blood all over my hands. I walk in, and what had happened is he had his foot on the shower drain, and somebody stepped on his foot, and that his little toe, one little toe, took a chunk out of the bottom of the toe, and then a chunk out of the side of the toe. Same toe.
From the X that crosses over in the drain.
Yeah. I mean, butchered. So I had this wad of paper towels to stop the bleeding, and it did slow. But he has two chunks missing out of his toe. Chunks. We're talking like half inch by quarter inch.
And no tears. Not really crying.
Yeah, he was crying.
Okay.
Which you should. I would cry. It's not like Henry who trips and falls down and cries. It was Lord. William. Got his toe blown off. But being the triage nurse, I got the bleeding to stop. And I was like, I didn't know. I was like, you know, does he need stitches? I went, you can't stitch up where there isn't any more flesh. It's all gone. So, you know, even tonight, took the bandages off. And he allowed me to clean the wound again, dress the wound, redo, and then bandage him back up, and he's going around. Tough little guy.
Well, I would say, you know, he questioned his logic that he trusts you, but...
Yeah.
I know.
You know, I noticed I had his blood under my fingernails. I'm taking a shower. I'm like, oh, my God, it was that bad.
He came in and let me love on him for a little bit.
Yeah, he was messed up. All right, so now I'm going to open the gift here for me.
Yeah. I'm mentally debating where to put those brownies.
You gotta have the sound effects, folks.
Let's see how you like this one.
Oh. Wine Folly, a master's guide.
The Wine Folly Master's Edition, folks.
Oh, my gosh.
He is going to be insufferable after he reads that.
That you know is this, right? Gorgeous. Where'd you find that? Amazon?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you bookstores everywhere. But there's the original Wine Folly, and then this is the Wine Folly Master's Edition. Wow. You know, we've referenced the Janus Robinson Encyclopedia Wine.
Yeah.
It's a bevy of information. Wine Folly, it's a little more condensed. I don't know necessarily better up to date, but it's a little more modern version of the same type of information. It's just not as encyclopedic. It's a little more at your fingertips.
So this is exceptional, Scott. Thank you. I mean, I'm just looking through this, and this has, you're right, it's condensed. It's everything that you need to know. Wow. Every grape, every style is broken down succinctly. That is gorgeous, and it's a beautiful book. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome, brother.
That's lovely.
Thank you, guys.
Yes. Wow. Lovely. I'm just going to hold it here, and I'm going to seem a lot smarter on the show now.
No, I am not
just
really
dreading it.
I don't.
So, I do like to. Well, summertime, sitting on the deck. I was sitting there reading about Australia, Australian wines, and my wine encyclopedia.
It
drinking.
Used to be like warships.
I still, but I know everything about those.
Yeah, I know.
Submarines and
welcome
shit.
To my life.
I just know about
who reads books about submarines.
I know your dad.
Your dad.
Like, yes. I love submarines.
Rob does.
I know. I know so all funny. About that stuff. And I'll never talk
only
about
likes
them.
Who reads books about Marvel superhero characters?
Not me.
Rob does.
I never
yes,
have.
Yes, you do so.
I don't have a book about them. What the hell?
Okay.
Take them back to the library.
I don't. Oh, no, that. Somebody bought me a gift of that. I never looked
your
at it.
Your mom did.
Yeah, I don't. I've never looked at it. I just know it exists. William should look at that, though. He'd love that.
Yeah.
Lukey would, too. They love that stuff.
But Merry Christmas to our listeners. And
yes.
You know, we're all struggling through 2020 like everyone mm-hmm. else, but we're very fortunate and, you know, spend time during the holidays with people that you care about and people you can afford to do so safely.
Mm-hmm.
And,
We
wish
Zoom
we were there with you.
With Rob's family yesterday, and it was not as terrible as I imagined. It really
True.
Was enjoyable.
True.
And I mean, we can do a like wishes for 2021. I could spend all day on that. But I think the message for 2020 is just take care of yourself. You know, do something that makes you happy. And being together, doing the podcast, talking to you all has really brought all of us a lot of joy. And in a time where we really aren't seeing anyone, aren't doing anything, this has been a bright spot for us every
yeah,
day.
It has been.
100%. Couldn't have said that better myself.
We enjoy spending time with all of you.
Yeah.
We do.
And we hope, we really have tried to keep a lot of the pandemic stuff off the air because we know that you're hearing it everywhere else. I mean, we've certainly talked about it some, but just try to be a little bit of a bright spot during this.
And when it hit us, obviously it hit Scott because he's a dirty bastard.
Skanky.
We did. We got to revisit some stuff that might have been some B-side episodes, but you heard them. You heard Beat Your Meat Ranch and you heard Kitchen Sink. I know Douglas liked that one. I mean, some episodes normally wouldn't make it anywhere, but they did because we had to put some stuff out. But that's okay because we're excited because we're four seasons of the Wine Vault. That's 230. Well, this would be 234 episodes.
So four seasons. Does that mean we get a hotel now?
That's true. Well,
no,
we'll get a landscaping company. That's what we'll, do. But
maybe we can get Rudy, if he's not in jail, to come get us out.
As long as
he got preemptively pardoned.
If he takes his pants off. On to season five, too. And season five is going to be exciting. We've got some great stuff lined up. We have the queue totally packed of all sorts of crazy stuff. James Suckling will be very excited because we have some of his transgressions to come.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, Lordy. Some Jimmy. And some good white wines.
Oh.
We do have some good white wines.
exciting.
Yes. And and wines from Charles Shaw again. What? No, not Charles Shaw. No, what the hell's the guy's name that had Boom Boom?
Smith.
Charles Smith. Sorry, Charles. Your Velvet Devil is still in the queue. It's in the waiting room. It's been there for a while. It's like,
I was going to say,
am I going to be next?
I think that we all hope that 2020 is left in 2020, but obviously, based on some of the things in the queue, it will be following us for some time.
It's true. And we do have I think it might be next week. You might hear this, I think. Pinot Noir Challenge.
Uh-oh.
California versus Italy. Who's better? I don't know. There might be also the Vigna Borgia retrospective. That just hasn't gone anywhere either. So, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back with the reviews here on the Wine Vault. Back, folks. So the 2017 Winte Riva Ranch Vineyard Pinot Noir from Arroyo Seco in Monterey. We're going to go around the room and we're going to get some scores and we're going to go over to the Triple B.
Okay. So for my review, I was thinking, you know, after the cherry mellows, it really does. And I don't know if that's us being used to it, if it's just us bringing more air in, I don't know what it is. But it becomes a very nice, drinkable wine. Very enjoyable. And like I said earlier, I think it's approaching so many things. The elegant mouthfeel, the oaking is lovely. And I don't really ever say that. It just is a nice, nice wine. I would try other vintages of this. I would buy it if I saw it. The other thing that I was thinking about is I would buy this at a restaurant, which for me is one of the top compliments I can give a wine, knowing the markup that you have. To me, like, that's almost a cat, like, that just puts it a step above other wines that I would be willing to buy it at a restaurant.
I think I'm going to lose on the wine, the integrity scores. Just go ahead.
Really?
Really off.
But I'm giving this an 88. I would recommend it. I think it's very nice. Really representative of California Pinot. I'm a fan. I think it's really, really nice.
The other thing that I think it's showing the longer we continue to consume this, there's a nice little kiss of acidity.
No, there is. That's part of that citrus.
And it just, it's really expressing itself so well. The only thing you can kind of knock this back a little bit is that it's a little, that muddled front palate, mid palate that kind of overlap a little bit. And there's, but that's fine. You know, it's not a flaw per se. But I'm at 80. I want to go 89, but I'm going to not do it. I'm going to do it. 89.
I called it.
I'm gonna do it. And the range would be 89 to 87. It doesn't start with a 9. Why? Because it doesn't quite have that elevated mouthfeel. It's starting to. It's got a nice mouthfeel. It's got a nice soft mouthfeel. It's not, you know, it doesn't have that earthy component that really stands out that you would want a Pinot to have, even if it's Cali style. And it doesn't have any expression of minerality really whatsoever. Nice nose.
Oh, the nose is great.
Great, easy to drink Pinot. This is what people who drink Meiomi and like it think they're drinking.
Yep. That's a great comment. It is.
Those people are stupid. But
maybe someday they can grow up and drink this.
Yeah, that's true.
Listen, again, I've nothing against you if you like Meiomi, but Meiomi is the Bud Light of wines.
And then on to me, folks. Let me start off by saying this. We're in season 4. 3 years ago, we would have given this wine a 91 or a 92.
Really?
Yes, we would have.
Yeah.
We gave Decoy a 90, and this is better than that. This is the thing. Your palates evolve as the more you drink, and we've drank a lot. But this wine is very good. It's a Cali style. It's a good version of the Cali style, mm-hmm. where it's balanced. You can tell there's a little bit of a minerality there, but it doesn't go full blown there. It just isn't a 90. It's very close, but it just isn't a 90. But that's partly because of the fruit. If it were a little leaner, I think I would give it a 90. But it's the Winte style. And I appreciate that because I'm thinking back to the Cab, to the Merlot, and to the Chardonnays, both the Riva Ranch Chardonnay and the Mountain Fog. We've had them all.
Yep.
This follows in those footsteps. It is the way they approach their wine. They want them to be drinkable. They want them to be approachable. They want them to be pleasing. Folks, if you like Pinot Noir and you don't want necessarily something that tastes like feet some given night, this is an excellent choice. Mm-hmm. If you want to drink a California Cabernet, Pinot Noir, hell, even a Cabernet, this is an excellent choice.
I agree.
I like this wine immensely, and I agree with Becky. This would be a wine that you would order in a restaurant. You would definitely do that. I would buy it in a second if I ever saw it, and I said, you know what? I know I want Pinot tonight. And I know I don't want to guess whether or not this is going to be good. Mm-hmm. And they don't have Love Block here. They don't have Pulsar Estate here. They don't have Leda here. They don't have Opatagua here.
That's not even carried anywhere.
But it's just even if you're going through a wine list and it's like they have crap or just mm-hmm. stuff that you're just not willing to pay restaurant prices for, this one you'd be willing to.
If this was on a shelf and other things on the shelf were cherry pie, Etude, Elowan, the Decoy stuff.
Meiomi would be on
any of the Willamette crap that's in this grocery store. If this was on the grocery store shelf, this would be the best Pinot that grocery store would have there. I don't give a shit how much the other ones they're fucking charging.
Yeah.
Because they're all Wagner clones.
You wouldn't be disappointed in
it. No. This be nice. Will be the best grocery store Pinot you're going to find at all. I'm giving it an 89. Oh. Now, I scribbled my score out 10 times because I had an 89, then I had a 90, then I had an 89. It's not quite special enough to get a 90, but it's great. It does get recommended. It does.
Even at full price.
Yeah. Scott, if this was $5.85.
That was full price.
You take your clothes off and dance like a freaking leprechaun. I
didn't know how good it was at the time.
Yeah, how many
did
bottles?
Did you buy, like, they only had two bottles?
Only had two bottles.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No, he only had two pockets to put it in.
He only had two bottles of this.
I should put it in the Value Price Hall of Fame, considering.
I was actually in the store, and did I call you or I texted you?
I don't know what you did.
I remember talking about it. Rob was like, I'm probably going to have to go get Scott out of jail. I'm like, what?
It's like, hey, dude, how do you know if the camera is following you in Kroger's? I'm like, fuck, I don't fucking know, motherfucker. How do you pick out the security person? I don't fucking know, man.
That's so funny.
It's just ridiculous. And I appreciate your larceny. Highly recommended. Tip of the cap. We're going to retain the bottle because we do that sometimes here for wines we really like. It's not necessarily Hall of Fame for that, but it's wines we really like. And we want to remember that we drank it. I'm going to write on the back. I've not done this with any other wines, but I'm going to write on the back of the bottle what we scored this wine. We have not done that on the other wines, and we look stupid because the bottle's sitting on the fucking shelf and we don't know what we scored them. But this wine, we're going to write it on the back so we remember. So we don't think that we gave it a 90 or something shit like that.
So what? I wrote down that I thought you would give it an 88 and Scott would give it an 89. What did you all put?
Oh, I think we have a winner right there.
What'd you think?
I did 88 for Rob and 87 for Becky.
Well, I got last place. I thought Becky would give an 86 and Scott would give an 87.
Whoa.
I forgot Scott drank it.
Yeah.
And I hadn't. I mean, I didn't know.
The nose made me so nervous because it was so great. Mm-hmm. And we have had so many wines where the nose has been great and then tasted like crap.
Yeah. Princess is a great wine. Really, you know, we don't drink a lot of Pinots. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think if there's a little crappy Burgundy she's been buying. No.
A Pommard.
She's buying a bunch of weirdo stuff from Grape and Grain, and I don't think they have any Pinot based French stuff. Mm. But she really appreciated the way this was oaked.
Yeah,
really, really liked that.
It's a great wine. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing, Scott. Even people that are just casual drinkers, I could see they would enjoy this wine, and you don't get a point for that on the Olympic scale,
right?
But you get a nod for that.
Yeah. Well, there's something to that.
But that's the Winte way.
There's something to that. It's, you know, with Winte, you're going to get quality.
What is Bo tearing apart?
Christmas paper.
Everybody could hear it. But I was like, yeah, you know.
We tried to keep him away from it.
I know. I got most of it. I can't touch the ground in this.
In case you were wondering, folks, Bo is a flaming dipshit.
He's a really cute flaming dipshit.
He's cute.
Yeah, he's a cute
dog.
He's
such a puppy. He's like, what, how many?
Yeah,
10 months old.
It feels a lot longer than that.
11 months old, and he's just like, oh,
February.
God.
But he was born in, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think he's close to being.
He's almost a year old. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's
how many years
lot.
To go?
Stop.
14.
Stop.
Fuck. It feels like a prison sentence.
If you'd be so lucky.
Something funny was last night. Rob gave him some turkey, and that the tryptophan in the turkey hit him. He couldn't even, like, walk.
No, he couldn't function. We watched Wonder Woman 1984 on. Yeah.
And he was, like, laying on the floor with his tongue out.
Yeah. I had drank the whole bottle of Chateau Hoyt. H-Y-O-T.
Yo.
Yeah. Out of the Riedel Grand Bordeaux glasses. And that was much better than Wonder Woman 1984. It's all right. It was okay.
The original is
much
is
better.
Very good. This is fine.
We need to go out to this. Just go ahead and turn it up a little bit.
Why can't we?
And let's go out.
Yes. So, folks, we would like to thank you for your patronage or whatever it is, your loyalty for the last season. We've enjoyed season 4. I'll miss season 4, but hopefully season 5 has better wines.
Yep.
So.
Be friends.
For Rob the Wine Guy, friends? Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the One-Legged Triple B, we are going to bid you adieu.
Yep.
And see you next time on the Wine Vault. Good night.